ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pod of Thunder.
Welcome to Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities. What are you burning over there, Chris? What is that?
My goodness.
See, one and only sense of cannabis and coffee, that the blend you can find in the Save Me San Francisco candle.
Very nice.
Inspired by Andy's favorite band, Top Band. Train.
They are.
So, there you go.
No lies detected in this intro so far.
Smells good, though, doesn't it?
It does. And if somebody listening wanted to get one of those, what do they do?
They go to curiosities.com, enter pothead at checkout to save 20% on your entire order.
There you go.
Stock up, save more, as they say.
Love that. And also, program is brought to you by patreon.com/potofthunder. So many tears for all of you wonderful listeners. If you're already a patron of the show, thank you. If you're not yet, check it out. There might be something for you that you like. A lot of benefits. Get some free music downloads, and all these wonderful clips that we play each and every week made by Nick and Chris. You can get all of those downloaded. They're all there for you to have at your beck and call.
What are you going to do with them?
I don't know, but you can do something.
I don't know.
You could join us live Thursdays via video when we do this chat with us live on here while we're doing the show.
You can contribute to the opening segment.
Who was that,
by the way?
That was Bobby To The Root.
To The Root.
You can be like Bobby,
yep.
Nicknamed To The Root.
That was Autonoma, mm-hmm. Automaton, Bobby Root.
That's right. That was Bobby, and that perk is available at every tier, so if you want to intro the show, get on patreon.com/potofthunder. Something for everybody, laying it on real thick as the weather gets a little warmer. Got some bills coming in.
If you got any phone calls, you don't know who it is, you didn't answer it, it's us.
Yep, we're looking for money.
Yeah, it's like the PBS telethon. So or Wikipedia begging for money.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, you know who I am, but let's have a little fun here. Ooh.
Could he be the most nakedest man in the world?
Yes, I could be, and I probably will be soon, the nakedest man in the world. It's your buddy Andy, America's little brother, as always, joined by this polka dancing maniac behind
me.
He's moving slow today.
Yeah. He's laboring. What is he doing?
Is this?
He hurt himself. They're crunching, crinkling.
All right.
I don't know what just happened. All right, here we go. Nick Pollock has entered the program. What are you doing over there?
just goofing.
You're giving Chris paperwork?
Yeah, he gave me instructions how to shoot Android videos.
Last week. This might be my new thing. Nick kind of accidentally put this scarf on me. It's like a do-rag a little bit.
That's a Mike Reno-sized do-rag.
It is. That would fit him. Look at that thing. There we go.
Yeah, these instructions just became Nick's death warrant.
Idea popped in my head, and I'm like, all right, I'm doing it.
WikiHow instructions.
I admit to my my fallacies, and this is what I get.
Let's get a close up of that. Yeah, very nice.
It's very well described.
Oh yeah, number three is the one right there. You press the red button.
That's where I always slip up. I don't know how it happens, but it's like I'm aiming it, you know, getting them in the shot, and I look, I'm like, fuck, I didn't hit the button.
All right, well, Nick, Glad to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
To your immediate left,
you want him, we got him.
Can have it every day, yeah, yeah. Can have it, get out of my way, yeah, fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast, Medium. Chris L's in the house. Here we are. Pot of Thunder.
Expresses my feelings about Nick's instructions.
Get out of my...
The last two lyrics, of the last two words of my intro. There was my reaction to Nick's little gift
it was
today.
All right.
Handing me a folded piece of paper.
But you got it this week, right? We're good?
Huh? I think so.
Successfully got it?
I better double check now you mention it. Yep, showing 25 seconds of video, so I'm good.
We did it, okay.
Because last time I checked it, it said zero. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to do it again.
I will do that sometimes. Like, one of my kids will do something, and then I press the button to turn it off and put the phone down. The video is like 2 seconds of my feet. I missed the video.
You didn't do it the first time, you did it after.
No, yeah, when I thought I stopped it, you know.
Well, Nick, patreon.com/potofthunder.
How's it going to help me?
Big money for Nick feet on there, if you're interested. No, I'm just kidding. No free feet.
No.
No.
I have to pay to get someone to look at these.
All right, well, here we are, end of March here. Was it the 30th of the day this comes out?
So. Yeah.
Yep, end of March. Next month is Pot of Thunder month, I think. But we can't prematurely. But it's coming up. Pot of Thunder month, April of 2026.
Didn't we forget that last year?
We might have.
I think we did.
We forgot a couple of years.
Slips our mind.
Well, I think that it was a government shutdown or something.
I think so.
They disabled the holidays.
They couldn't come to terms on how to spend the allocated funds for Pot of Thunder month, so they just shut it down.
But so we're going to try again next year. So they're not having it in April. But it's going to be our 13 years of doing the podcast. Shit, it'll be April. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so that's coming up. Here we are. I know I'm hungry. I'm assuming Chris is hungry, and I think Nick's got something. I hear some crinkling.
I hear something over there.
Yeah, I thought I heard...
coming over.
Uh-oh, Nick's walking it over, so you know that's
the
trouble.
The fuck?
Yeah.
It's like gift wrapping. Why is it only going to Andy? Where's mine?
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
You joker.
What is this bullshit?
Should I play the big treat? Is it a big treat?
There might be a big treat involved.
Do I play it or do I open first?
Now I know
Go
what's
ahead and
happening.
Play it.
Now I know what's happening. Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
Should I open? Should I do?
You should do.
The top one first?
Now I know what's happening. All right, now it's all making sense.
Here we go. Nick, you joker. Look at that. A whole bag of night cookies.
Holy fuck. That's a lot, man.
Labeled night cookies.
There we go. That's perfect.
And those are... It's
save me, San Francisco.
But very similar to an oatmeal, like chocolate chip oatmeal cookie, except not oats, Rice Krispies.
Oh, very nice.
So I don't know what you
call
that.
So the healthier option.
I guess slightly, yeah.
Nice.
It'll keep Andy in the 200 realm.
I'm already down too much. I got to get back up there. Maybe these cookies will help me.
Yeah,
it's just too much eating. It's too much eating to stay up there.
You can't keep up?
No.
You are consciously trying to get in there?
Yeah.
It is a lot.
It was hard.
And he's trying to come on home, as Charles Barkley would say.
Yeah, I got there. I on Sunday, we're recording this on a Thursday, on Sunday night for the first time in my life, I finally got to 200 pounds. I did it. I can't do it anymore.
You lost it?
193 today.
What?
I can't do it.
Jeez.
193.
It's too much eating.
I have a virus if I get down that low.
Yeah. So, can I open this one?
Sure.
All right.
Who's this from?
Who the fram? Mm-hmm.
I don't want to break anything here. I'm trying to...
It is fragile.
Trying to go quickly, but not...
There's just a few strips of tape. It should be... There we go. Okay. No problem.
Well, he's not getting any younger, which is the whole point of this whole exercise.
And I got a Night Cookies capybara coffee mug. Where's a capybara eating Night Cookies?
So that was a, yeah, that's a one-of-a-kind item right there.
I love it. Well, I'm going to use it every day.
That's Andy as a capybara.
Yeah, that's a nice piece.
It is
Andy
nice.
As a capybara eating cookies at night.
I love it.
Well, so
let me share these cookies. Chris, you gotta get a couple of these and then pass it back. But thank you, Nick.
So I'm all Happy it's birthday. All making sense. Happy birthday. Thank when you. Is the actual birthday?
Sunday the 29th.
Okay, so yesterday as of the official release of this episode.
So I guess while we're crinkling the bag here, if you wanna hit the clip that I was asking you to have ready.
Here we go.
Andy wants nice cookies. He's up late to eat 'em. Oh, oh. He wants night cookies. One evil repentance.
You know.
Dave, praying for this moment to last. Dipping Dunkin', feeling so fine. Leaving.
I think out of...
Had to celebrate.
Maybe out of all the intro songs when you were doing that, what is there, 70 of them or something? 65, I don't know.
Yeah, around that.
That might be the one that I think of the most. Frequently pops into my head.
Well, it's an activity that that you enjoy
That's true.
You can, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, and as you guys were discussing in the pre-show live stream, which is available to all patrons above the $5 tier. How you were saying that the dude in Sublime, his son, is vocally indistinguishable from the father.
Yeah, it is.
I'd say the same thing about you and Barry Gibb having listened to that just
when
now.
Nick got into the verse. It's
the second half,
perfect.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
You
could not tell me if I didn't know you guys ever and you played that for me, I would think that was Barry Gibb.
Wow.
Absolutely.
You think Barry Gibb did some kind of goofy...
Not goofy.
Well, but it's
serious.
Night Cookies. I mean,
well, sure, but it's a serious vocal performance.
The performance is as serious as it gets. Yes, yes. The song, like some kind of goofy advertisement for some cookies.
But putting the goofiness aside, just the quality and the timbre of the vocal.
That's
Barry Gibb. Top vocal.
Wow. All right, I'll take it.
I'm not sure that registered with me the first time we played that on the show. It's an accomplishment.
Yeah, that might be the winner.
Yeah,
whatever happened to that Dustin? Weren't we going to have a Final Four?
Maybe next year.
March Madness tournament of all.
I know
those
he
songs.
Did some work on it.
It's okay, Dustin. I'm not mad.
He's
at you.
A, he's a
I'll
busy
never be
guy.
Mad at you.
He's got his own podcast.
Yeah, he's got bigger fish to fry. Yeah,
he's got shit going on.
Yeah,
I'm on his podcast coming up.
Are you this week?
Okay. I don't know when it's going to be released, but sometime in April, I believe.
Mm. What's it called?
The
Nick?
Season of the Witch.
There you go.
I get to be on it for the third time.
You gonna reveal the subject, or is that a surprise?
I won't reveal it, just in case he wants to keep it under wraps for now.
All right, check it out. All Nick's going to be on there. I was on there in December. Chris, you on there?
Yeah, for the Christmas movie.
Yeah, oh yeah, we all did one. Yeah. That's right.
And I will say, one previous guest of ours was on with me, and a friend and listener who I don't believe has ever been on a podcast was on it as well. So,
damn, no kidding.
Y'all had a party.
We did.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's good. It's nice that there's a community, of Thunder community getting it done out there. So that's fun.
So I'm gonna make a guess as to what the topic isn't. I'm guessing the show is not about the Andy theme bracket because it simply hasn't come together as promised.
I can reveal that it's not.
Well, right.
Not the topic.
No.
Not it. Well, thank you, Nick, for these wonderful presents.
Happy birthday, everybody. Tell Andy happy birthday.
Yeah. It was yesterday.
What's the number?
43.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
That just your Richard Petty birthday.
Yeah, it was Jackie. Well, as we speak, it's still Jackie Robinson for a couple days, and then goes to Richard Petty.
Yep. Then it'll be Hank Aaron.
Then you'll get to your year. Hank Aaron birthday. Mm-hmm.
Then it'll be post-gambling scandal Michael Jordan.
That's right.
All sorts of things to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody in the chat, saying happy birthday. Appreciate it. All right. Let's get to some business here.
Should I come over?
You might as well. Nick had he had a turn coming up, but then we bumped him. He got bumped last week.
Got we did the Raven just episode. Just like John Candy as the contingent host for SNL. Never happened.
Oh.
That's what I heard. He was always the backup person that they were going to try to get if they needed an emergency replacement.
And they just never had to call him.
Never happened.
Never happened.
I did not know that.
Well, Nick's heading over here. While you head over here, why don't you go ahead and fire up the sports machine? All right, first pool is 14-26.
Oh, it should be right here. Ooh.
That's a band that... I don't know how much Nick likes that band.
It won't happen on my watch.
Not happening on his watch. Not at all. Is what
no.
Not ever.
No, it's a straight up Bushwick.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Bushwick, okay. Move along to the next trick. We don't want it! We don't want it! Why don't you want it, Nick? What's the problem? Don't like it, huh?
I have no affinity for this particular artist.
Okay.
Not that you necessarily have to have affinity for the artist. You can still foresee a good episode.
But there are a couple bands that we don't want it. I would have been okay with it, but you don't want that one. Chris has his list. Yeah. We all have our lists.
I can't speak for Chris. I don't know that he would go for it either, but I know that I'm not going to.
Well, I'll share it in the chat. For
I'm seeing it now. Yeah, fuck them.
Patreon.com/Pot of Thunder. Nick, pull it again while we find another one here. Next one is 439.
439.
Right here. Ooh, that's something.
Can I see the comment, please?
Okay, Nick's reading the comment.
Yeah.
I just saw part of the comment.
I am vaguely familiar.
Okay.
Somewhat familiar. Yeah, I think this would work.
All right. 439 is going to be the one.
I don't think we need another one.
All right. 439 is going to be it.
Well, 439 has yielded some results one of the top segments of this podcast. So hit it.
Habemus papa, man. Time for pop stuff. Yeah, that pop stuff.
Customary question for Nicholas. Year 439. Who was the Pope?
I'm going to guess that you tipped me off and it's one of the Nicholases.
Incorrect. In the year 439, the Pope was St. Sixtus III, or Xistus III, who reigned from 432 to 440. He was a Roman priest known for being a conciliator, maintaining calm relations with the East, and sponsoring significant building projects in Rome, including the reconstruction of the Liberian Basilica, and renovations to St. Lawrence outside the walls.
And I'm guessing when there's someone named Sixto nowadays, that's who they're named after. One of the...
Quite possible.
It comes from the name Sixtus, I always kind of figured.
Well, Sixto?
Could be right.
Sixto?
Sixto.
Never heard of that name.
It's like a Latino...
There was a opening day today, technically. Yesterday was really opening day because the first game was yesterday, but today was opening day across Major League Baseball. I remember the Latino ball player Sixto Lezcano from back in the day. 70s, maybe 80s. Well, I gotta look that up.
You don't hear too many people with that name, but...
it should make a comeback.
You hear a few here and there.
Sixtus, huh?
Yep.
And yeah.
Learning something today.
Well. All right.
I'm very interested in this song, especially after seeing the comment.
What I will say about it beforehand is I'm aware of this album that this is from, and it's something maybe a year or two ago I don't know if I read about it or just came upon it and just thought it was interesting, an interesting album. And that's, I don't know if I should say any more. Well, it's an artist that everybody's heard of.
For sure.
And will likely be surprised when they hear the name of the artist that it's come up on our list here.
All right.
But I am somewhat aware of this album.
Okay.
And it's, I don't want to go too far.
Are you ready to reveal?
Well, before you do that, Sixto Lezcano, Sixto Joaquin Lezcano Curas. Puerto Rican, former professional baseball outfielder, played in the major leagues for 12 seasons.
Nice.
Played for 5 teams, won a gold glove during his career. His teams were the Brewers, Cardinals, Padres, Phillies, and Pirates. And he ended his career with the Yokohama Taiyo Whales.
I have a hat.
I was going to say,
home.
Do you have any merch?
I do have a hat of the Whales, yeah. He was...
Is that from the Japanese Negro League that you have to complete your collection?
Yeah, combination.
For all we know, there was something like that. I don't know. Never heard of it, but I would be the first one buying a hat if there was. I believe he was the best known for pulling off the 4-6-0-3 double play. Sorry, everybody. It could have been worse.
Is it the joke segment?
The jokes just came out.
Jennifer Lopez dated him famously and originally wanted to call her album On the Sixto. But it was deemed a little too cheeky, innuendo-filled. So, yeah.
All right.
We could keep going.
If you want to.
What's the chat
That's
going to
be our new segment, Sixto Lezcano jokes.
Oh, no. What have you done for next week?
We'll have to come up with a clip for that.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, I think I'm ready to reveal.
Okay. Well, let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
Burn Up the Night.
Off of
The Change Has Come.
By the band
Chubby Checker. And I'm looking it up. 1982.
Ooh.
Ooh, I didn't
80s
know.
Chubby.
Yeah. And I'd come upon this a couple years ago and checked it out. Thought it was pretty cool. Let's see.
You've heard this song before.
I don't know. There's a song, like the opening track, I can remember pretty well.
How did you come across this release?
I'm trying to remember if I just read about it, if there was just something someone posted about it, but it intrigued me enough to check it out, and I thought it was pretty cool, actually. Burn Up the Night. And it looks like he performed it on Fridays.
On Fridays.
Back in the day.
Look at that.
Fridays had really cool musical guests.
Absolutely. I remember The Cars, Kiss, of course.
Devo
was great. And now Chubby Checker. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing a sketch that I thought was any good on Fridays. Honestly,
never anything.
I don't think I've ever seen anything where I thought that was pretty good.
The only thing I remember sketch wise from Fridays was the Drugs Are Us guy with the take a pill, blah, 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 you know.
Who played that?
the guy who you talked about a few episodes ago.
The guy who just passed away.
He was in the
from the Kiss Exposed.
Yes, yeah, he was in the video for what? I can't even remember the song we did.
I forgot to.
It's like three episodes ago. What is it?
Where he was
Triumph.
Yes.
Yeah, he was in the Triumph.
I can't remember the name of the song, but it was the Triumph song.
Spellbound episode.
Spellbound.
Yeah, that was... what was his name? Anyway, we'll say it just because we want to be respectful, especially since he's no
Mark
longer
Blankfield.
With us.
Mark Blankfield. Thank you, Tony
Mark
Griggs.
Mark Blankfield. Thank you. As I'm scrolling through, though, this stuff doesn't... there's a sort of an encapsulation of Fridays here on Wikipedia, and it's nothing. There might be some good stuff comedically, but I don't even know.
Man,
nothing that I saw was any good. The musical guests were great, though.
I'm looking at the comment here. I saw part of it when we first found out what it was, and I just read the whole thing. I don't know if we should read it before we...
Maybe not.
We should wait.
Well, who submitted it?
I'll tell you this. This was submitted by Jeff DS, our buddy in Winnipeg.
Yep.
Interesting. I don't want to read what it says because I think it'll be interesting to listen first.
It gives away some of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, not much information that I'm finding. It's listed on his Wikipedia page, but it doesn't have a page of its own. But it looks like it's his first album in 11 years at that point. He had one in 71 and nothing until 82.
Yeah, I found it on YouTube because on Apple Music, Chubby Checker doesn't exist after 1964.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
Typical Apple bullshit.
So
another strike against that company.
Yeah.
Pissing on the legacy of later period Chubby Checker. Fuck you.
Well,
Chubby Apple. Checker born in 1941. Okay. As far as I know, still out there doing it.
Yeah.
His real name, Ernest Evans.
Did not know that. I assumed his last name was Checker. Ernest Checker.
Well, you know it was a riff on Fats Domino.
I did not know.
You didn't know that?
No, I never knew that.
I think it was... Fats Domino at first, Chubby Checker, but yeah, it was a play on Fats Domino.
Okay, funny you say that.
It's interesting.
You did not know that?
Never. No, never occurred to me.
Interesting.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
Apparently, Dick Clark's wife, Barbara, heard Chubby Checker's Fats Domino impression and suggested that his last name should be Checker because it's like a domino checker. Yeah, a play off of that. So, yeah, Dick Clark's wife.
Clark's
apparently.
Wife is responsible. All right.
Which man? That's to still be around doing it, and to be like from the old.
I mean, when did the twist
the old
come
bandstand?
Out?
Well,
58 or something.
50s, yeah.
Right. Or late '50s, early '60s.
Come on, everybody!
That's the best part. That's just listen to the beginning over and over.
Andy finally does an impression on the show, and it's maybe his best one. So this is already going well.
Yeah, this is good.
And then this was. Let's see, 6 years before he teamed up with the Fat Boys.
Oh, right.
For the twist.
Oh, man.
That's for Yo Linda's 16th birthday party.
That's what it was.
I remember always laughing at that. It's Happy Sweet 16 or something like that. Yo Linda.
All right.
That's the dull party going on at the beginning of the video. Anyway.
What year was that?
87? 88, it said.
88, okay.
And I remember that pretty well. That was all over MTV for a little while there.
That's kind of fun.
You know, he's, of course, from that era of The Twist is his signature song, but he had, the Fat Boys had, they had the Beach Boys on one of the songs that became popular.
Yeah.
I forget which song it was, though. But interesting how the Fat Boys were used to bring back some of these legacy artists back then.
That is interesting.
Oh, you hit your wagon to what's hot at the time, and Fat Boys were hot.
And they were willing to allow people to hitch their wagon.
Yeah, they didn't
them.
Big league people like Kim Wilson or Mike Reno.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're not as insecure as those two other assholes. So, you know, they were perfectly fine with sharing the wealth and gotta love it.
Jeff Stroop and Fielding Fowler both said it was Wipeout that they did.
Oh, that's Beach right. Boys. It was Wipeout. Yep. Remember loving that too when I was a kid? I did.
Loving that.
I did.
That's good.
Top song.
That's. I mean, I was like, eight years old. That was really.
That was made for you.
Who it was going to appeal to?
Yeah.
Hey man, that's how they. That's the time to latch on to somebody when at the impressionable age.
Yeah.
So, smart move by the Fat Boys.
Tony Griggs also said Beach Boys were on Fridays. How about that?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
I don't remember that, but. There you go. Someone that you probably wouldn't see on SNL.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the track list here because there's really not much information, but I'm seeing that this song opens up side B of the album.
Okay.
Under My Thumb closes up side A.
Ooh. All right.
Which I'm guessing...
Stone / Street Heart cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in hearing that version. I'll have to look for it.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by this.
Absolutely.
What was this album called?
I'm also intrigued by the fact that you're not reading the comment until afterward. We've never done that before, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
The album's called The Change Has Come, which I believe is a lyric in Under My Thumb, I think, if I remember the song correctly.
Sounds right.
I think you're right, yeah.
Okay. Why don't we... take a quick commercial break and come right back with Chubby Checker, Burn Up the Night.
Yeah, that feedback guitar and all that stuff wasn't, you know, that's like something that you don't.
Not Chubby Checker.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but he's getting with the times.
But this is 82, yeah. So yeah. And then nice little riff there.
Yeah.
Kind of Devo-esque without like the keyboard in there. But it's giving me Devo vibes.
But a nice driving beat.
Yeah. Of the time.
Fielding Fowler said bad motor scooter light.
Yeah, with the...
you hear that in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kickstart My Heart light, you know, go down the list of songs with guitars mimicking the sounds of motor vehicles. But, you know, again, in 82, it was, you know... Van Halen was 5 years into it. Everybody was whammy bar crazy.
Yeah.
So anytime you could interject it into music, people did it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens here.
Now the keyboards are coming.
No, I'm
very Devo.
Yeah, Devo, and I guess... As a not really byproduct, because that's minimalizing Weird Al's musical input, but I'm thinking That Boy Can Dance, or That Boy Could Dance, whatever the exact title is. Andy, I don't know if you remember that one. We had it on it was a B-side of Eat It, I think, because we had a 45 when we were kids.
That does sound like it.
And it sounds to me a lot like that. Like, sonically, it sounds very much like it, which I'm guessing that song was only a couple years removed from this.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, pretty pretty interesting. It's like Chubby's gone new wave.
Yeah, I had no idea.
What was the first
song? I'm an old black man. That's what I am.
That's what I thought.
Is that what he said?
You gotta go back. That's what I heard too. I'm like, wait.
Are the lyrics anywhere?
I don't know. There's like no Wikipedia page.
Yeah, is this real?
You heard the same thing I heard.
You guys look it up. I'll rewind it here.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Here I'll look it up.
That can't be. I mean, obviously that can't be it, but... I don't know, but I'm enjoying the vocal.
Yeah, there's no lyrics anywhere.
Lyrics don't exist.
What could be the correct lyric?
I have. That's the only thing I could hear.
Yeah. He's just telling it like it is.
He's looking for, what is it, looking for love anywhere he can?
And he wasn't even that old. He was 41 at the time.
Yeah, I'm older than him.
Yeah, you're older.
I mean, obviously he's
old
not.
Old white man over there, sitting there.
There's no way he said what we're hearing, but that's all I can hear. I don't know.
Maybe he did say it. Who knows? We can't confirm it or deny it. I don't know.
I don't. Yeah.
Fat? No, he did not say fat.
No.
You clowns.
Oh man.
I need to hear it again.
I think so. Because
this is important.
This is an important misheard lyric.
If we mess this up, we don't know what's going on.
The whole song is just going in whatever trajectory here that we're mishearing.
Yeah.
Are you looking at comments?
I was hoping, but there's nothing.
There's only, what, two?
Yeah, not too many. Listen, 3,700 views only.
In 14 years.
Yeah. What do you say? Why owls got to fly?
A night owl's got to fly. Very Lou Rawls-ish lyric there. Like the eagle flies on Friday is one of his lyrics that he seemed to enjoy throwing out there.
Call me crazy. I think Chubby Checker sounds a little bit like Gene Simmons and fits like a glove on this.
He's going for a little rasp there.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I just know him as like the guy who does the songs about dances, really.
Yeah, about one dance.
Yeah, I mean,
multiple songs about one dance.
I actually was ordering vinyl one time, and it was like, buy another one, and the shipment's free.
Oh, yeah.
And I always get sucked in by those tiered offers.
So I got like a $2 Chubby Checo's Limbo Party record.
I saw that on.
It's fun. It's a fun. It's fun. I mean, that's... As far as I know...
You just called him Chubby Checo.
Well, we're mishearing and misspeaking now.
Chubby Checo's Limbo Party.
I was excited to talk about it.
Was it this one? Let's limbo some more? Or that's the
No, that's the return.
Let's limbo even some more.
It's got like a limbo version of La Bamba on it.
Oh, wow.
He was, I mean...
Now, what constitutes a limbo version? Is there just a...
It's a calypso-ish, I guess.
And there's a portion in the middle where he's encouraging the limbo move.
Oh, I mean, every song he's talking about limboing.
Okay.
I mean, but...
Interesting.
It's not Bob Dylan lyrics or anything that he's putting out there, but, you know, for being a... It's like, hey, what's music for? For dancing?
Yeah.
For being, like... A total pro salesman of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Really,
a party accessory.
What's music initially for?
You're right.
Or ultimately, it's to get people dancing.
Yeah.
Sure.
He was going for it.
And he's the best snake oil salesman in the world, perhaps for that for a while.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what this old black man is up to. So he called himself.
We heard it three times, and it totally sounds like that. So
I don't know what else it would be.
If we listen to it a few more times, we could ascertain it. But I don't think we want to spend time doing that.
I'm not good at that, so I don't. I think it would take me a lot of times. Yeah. I'd have to hear maybe the live version. He says it differently.
Oh, that might help. But yeah, maybe we'll.
He might even get even more risque in a live setting.
Yeah.
On Fridays.
Yeah.
Anything goes.
All right, let's see. I've got a restless soul full
Yeah, your Gene Simmons thing, your comparison is... He you gets it, he's right? getting into that, yeah.
A.K.A. the old Jewish man. I'm an old Jewish man with something to say.
Yeah, I hear he's going for it. So this, you know, the year Creatures came out, strong Gene Simmons here.
Yeah.
It would make sense that he would be influenced by Kiss and or Gene Simmons because, you know, even though they were on a downslide after Elder, they were on the verge of coming back up, you know. So
it's clear he's going for contemporary at the time, obviously, contemporary influences.
Well, of course. So. Why not?
Just a pretty cool. I remember most from when I listened to this, like the first song on the album. I just remember thinking, like, wow, it's like updated Chubby Checker for that time. That's pretty cool. I never knew that existed. Hmm. I mean, it's it's a pretty cool sound. Very of the time, but that's I think the novelty of it. It's very enjoyable.
I looked it up on AI. Do you want me to tell you what it might say?
Yeah,
go ahead. Do we want to know? I'm an all-night man.
Okay.
That could be it.
That makes more sense with what he's saying.
It's probably it, but we have decided it's something else. But that's what I heard instantly. Probably says more about me than what Chubby was trying to put across. But
considering the two,
I will never not hear it.
Yeah, considering the two options, if you're kicking a door in at a party, what's the first thing you say between the two?
Well, plus, have you noticed these memes going around on Instagram of misheard lyrics that are becoming common? Yeah, I'm gonna have to make one for this. Because it puts the misheard lyrics, and then at the bottom it says, or whatever Chubby Checker was trying to say.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right.
So
I look forward to it.
I think I did see something, one of those. Okay.
Yeah. And I put one out for the chicken salad and roast beef one last week, but this one deserves one for sure. Because this might be the best misheard lyric of all time.
Especially that's the first lyric of the song. First thing he says.
Comes out of the gate.
I want to cover it just so that I can say that.
All right. Let's continue. He does sound like this Gene.
he does. It's like he's pulling it off, though.
He does. It sounds good. It's, you know, I didn't know Chubby Checker had this in him. Not that he's not a pro, but you know what I mean. But I never heard this side of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is not
Because you have Apple Music. As far as Apple Music is concerned, this side of him doesn't fucking exist.
Yeah, he's been dead for 60 years, according to Apple.
Written out of history. This is like the Lenin of his discography. Or Stalin, I should say. Who was the Russian guy who was written out of history?
I think it was Lenin. They took the statues down and all that, right?
One of them. I think so. Somebody. But
people were sitting on the statue as they put a chain on it and drove around. They were
writing on it.
They were writing on it.
To do that with a sled in winter.
I used to do that just on the street in winter.
So this sounds like Gene singing a song that might end up on Peter Criss's 78 solo album. That's what it's reminding me of.
That's good.
What's not to like?
That's fun. I had no... Yeah, I did not expect this at all. I had no idea this even existed.
I really like the lyric... I think it was right before the chorus, the baby, you're on fire, and I'm looking for some gas.
Yeah, right. I was trying to figure out what that was.
I think that's what he says. Or you're a fire, or you're on fire, or you're an old black fire. I don't know.
But this says, baby, your fire is looking for some gasoline.
Oh,
okay.
I like that.
Okay, either way. Yeah, I like that. I really like that lyric.
Okay.
So far, so good, I would say.
Yeah.
See, now this would be a great obscure song for a Full Tilt Rock band to cover.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could really... It wouldn't take much to rock it up because it's already rocking, but like, if you just came out with this and didn't tell anybody where it was from or who originally did it, nobody would know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could either reveal it or not, but if you busted this out in the middle of a rock set, it would go over great.
It would go over great. Absolutely. No one would know what it is.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's that this is the exact kind of obscure gem that makes for great covers.
Yeah.
You know, and in this case, like I said, you wouldn't have to do much to it to rock it up more because it's already rocking.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going.
Man,
yeah,
he's into it.
This is great.
And what was that? That was another great lyric. Cuts me in two like lightning splits the night.
That's what I heard. Yeah,
that was great, man. Some nice wordsmithing. Does it say who wrote the song?
You know, look on Discogs and see if there's anything, because
I can try to find out.
Oh, you know what? I might have a picture of the record here. Clark. I can't make it out. Clark Bellis.
Michael Clark and John Bettis.
Oh, there Bettis. Okay.
Clark and Bettis.
All right. Well, whoever's writing these lyrics doing a good job. And, of course, Chubby is doing a great job delivering them. He's totally bought into it. So
it says... the way it's credited is Bettis, Clark. So it looks like it's the name is Clark.
Yeah,
Bettis,
and on the record, two guys. On the record, yeah, it looks
yeah.
like.
So John Bettis wrote Human Nature by Michael Jackson.
What?
Wrote The Heart of Rock and Roll by Huey Lewis and the News.
Wait a minute.
Are you kidding?
Nope. And it says many others for artists such as The Carpenters, Madonna, and more. So wait, John Bettis is a stud.
What band was he in? Because wasn't that the thing where he was in a band and they gave a tape to Quincy Jones and he heard the little bit of human nature and went crazy as soon
well,
as
no,
he heard
I
it.
Thought that was the guy from Toto who wrote that. who had a demo. He recorded that for Toto and they're like, we don't want this song. He played it for Quincy and he's like, we'll put it on Thriller. One of the keyboard player, Percaro brother, played keyboards. Something's...
I don't know, John Bettis, was he... let's see, it says he's collaborated... Long-running collaboration with Richard Carpenter. I don't know, he co-wrote the theme song for Growing Pains and Empty Nest.
Oh, of course he did.
Of course.
This guy wrote all the best songs
ever made.
Every
great song he wrote... but as far as a band, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I thought there was something like that where there was like some kind of demo tape and...
Well, it is, but it's the guy from Toto. It was a whole segment in that Yacht Rock documentary where he actually played the demo. So I don't know what this Bettis guy is involved with.
Is it bullshit?
Unless he's some kind of...
I don't know.
Collaborated with... Is it Steve Percaro? I don't know. Whoever the keyboard playing Percaro brother is.
Yeah.
There was a bass player, drummer, who was Jeff.
Yeah.
And the keyboard player.
So this says he wrote Human Nature with Steve Percaro.
All right.
So there you go.
So John Bettis, possibly the greatest songwriter of all time.
Ever. He wrote Top of the World with the Carpenters, probably their best song. He wrote Human Nature. He wrote Crazy for You by Madonna.
Slow Hand
by the Pointer Sisters.
Damn.
He wrote the 1988 Summer Olympics theme, One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston.
Jeez. Oh, I remember that one.
He won an Emmy for that. Jeez. Never okay. heard of this guy.
So,
see, you know, the guy with that kind of clout can get away with a lyric like I'm an old black man opening a song with that. You got his resume, you can get away with that. So now everything's being explained. Everything makes sense now.
Wow. That's, I'm just looking at some of his,
You must have been a fan of Chubby to link up with him at this time.
You know, as if he needed to endear himself any more to me,
mm-hmm.
he wrote a song from the Back to the Beach soundtrack.
Of course he did. What did he write?
Some Things Live Forever, sung by Frankie and Annette.
Wow.
Of course he did, right?
Yeah, why not? Everything great. Oh, he wrote some George Strait songs. Oh, I jeez, mean, of course. Why not?
Yeah,
scatter it around.
Of course, like the best country artist of all time is going to record his songs.
Yeah. My God.
So John,
I'd never even heard of this guy.
So many songs. I mean, I'm looking at the list. It's like on Wikipedia, it has to be grouped by alphabet. It has to be alphabetized, grouped by letter.
Hmm.
It's not like, oh, they're just trailing them off in alphabetical order. It's like, oh, okay, in the A section.
These are the A's.
The section, yeah.
It's like 30 or 40 in there.
Yeah, Christopher Cross, Carpenters.
Jackie wants to know if he's related to Jerome Bettis. Might be.
Could be. Yeah, but he's still around, too, so.
That's good. Well, God bless John Bettis.
Yeah. Wow.
Never heard of him. Happy to know.
No wonder I mean look at what other songs he wrote. No wonder I'm enjoying this one so much.
Yeah. Okay.
Gotta love a saxophone.
Well, we got one.
Andy, can you read the comment?
Yeah.
No.
That's actually why. That was one of the main reasons I didn't want to read the comment. I didn't want to spoil
it. Oh, okay.
That.
Well, yeah. Are you going to read it now?
Yeah. So Jeff, again, this was submitted by Jeff DS. Jeff says, not at all what anyone could ever imagine coming from Chubby Checker. Almost turbo-era Judas Priest-like, complete with a sax solo that would make even Chris L. weak in the knees.
It was a nice, dirty sax solo.
Oh, yeah. And Fielding, earlier in the chat, made a comparison to Gary U.S. Bonds, which is accurate. And, of course, he was a guy who worked with little Steven Van Zandt, and he was tied in with, like, that whole Jersey scene, Southside Johnny, Bruce Springsteen and stuff. So lots of saxophone in that... that group of musicians, so it all makes sense. Yeah, love a good sax solo. I even love a bad sax solo. Whatever, if it's saxophone, I'm going to be into it.
Yeah,
that's some an instrument that I would love to hear make a comeback. I'm not expecting that anytime soon, but that's a throwback to the original days of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, Chubby is as well, so.
Makes sense.
Yep.
So it's a little blurry, but I'm on Discogs, and they have some photos of the jacket, the inner record jacket, and there are lyrics on it, and it does, in fact, say, I'm an all-night man.
Ah, I thought you were going to say it does, in fact, say the
other one. But there's a line, the line during the chorus that I couldn't decipher until right now. That's pretty cool. Baby, I'm the match you need to strike. And I think it says, so let's hit and get it.
Mm.
Which was, our dad said that all the time.
Oh boy.
He's a Chubby Checker fan. Or a John
Let's
Bettis
hit it and
fan.
Get it. And burn up the night.
That's funny. I never saw Godfather Part 3, but it says he wrote Promise Me You'll Remember, and it says it was Academy Award nominated. Don't know it.
No surprise, I mean.
Oh, that's nice. He wrote something for some animated movie. Performed by Randy Travis, of course. Give me everybody great.
And put yeah, he wrote music for Major Dad, too. So, now, Gerald.
Is that serious?
Now, are you making that up? Or is it?
Major Dad.
Wow.
Now, Gerald McCraney is in the equation.
Yeah.
And you got BJ Thomas singing The Growing Pain. It's like, come on.
Yeah, everybody was connected to Bettis.
Yeah.
Except Jerome Bettis.
that we know
we
of.
Haven't been able to make a connection there, but.
Unbelievable.
Bobby, so it's I'm an all-night man, huh? We'll have to listen to it again just so now that we know what it is, if we see if we can hear it. Not right now, yeah.
I mean, but it couldn't be what we heard, but I guess the mystery's been solved.
Bobby Root wants to know if it's hit it and get it or hit it and quit it.
No, I don't
think. Well, hit it and quit it is a P-Funk Parliament funkadelic lyric. I think hit it and get it means he wants to hit it and stay with it.
Yeah, it says get it. It's blurry, but I can clearly see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so instead of hitting it and leaving, he's hitting it and wants to stick around. So
he's an all-night man.
He is an all-night man. We love that trope on this show, the notion of having sex all night long. Nobody in the history of the world, except maybe Sting, has ever done that. So, you know, things in lyrics, which is, you know, down on your knees is one that's just constantly in songs, and the other one is the notion of making love all night long. Nobody does that.
This is funny. Big time overpromise on that. Change your mind real quick. All right, let's finish up here. We got like another about a minute.
Oh, good. A woman so hot.
Whoever's playing bass is having a little fun here.
And loves some octave, some little alternating octaves during much of the song.
Yeah.
It's well played, everything.
Yeah.
I don't know who played guitar on it, but I'd like to know. Can't make it out on here.
Steve
but,
Vai, who knows? Everyone. everyone he
Who's
wanted.
The greatest of all time?
Steve Lukather.
Steve Sykes. Steve Sykes. Bruce Fisher are listed as guitar player. I don't know who either of them are. I'm sure they're the all-time greatest.
Yeah.
Because apparently nothing less than the best for Chubby in 1982.
Hey, why settle for anything less? He's Chubby fucking Checker.
That's true.
Come on. He's respect.
I love it when he's doing that gasoline part and he's holding the note and his voice isn't quite there the whole time, but he's still going for it.
I like
that. That's what's on the record.
Yeah.
I love that.
I like
that's real authenticity there.
You don't get enough of it ever anymore.
No, you don't.
It's too bad.
Yeah, you really don't.
Yeah. All right.
Andy's
don't you
up.
Dare look at my screen. Never mind.
No, that's, hey. All right. I'm not sure exactly what you're cooking up, but I'm all for it.
No, I was just going to do a side-by-side. But
all right. Please do.
We'll see. All right.
But yeah, I know you mentioned Fits Like a Glove, and I don't know, you might be doing a side-by-side here in a minute, but this, the way the song is arranged and produced, this could totally have fit in on Unmasked.
Yeah.
As is, right?
Yeah, as is, with that little keyboard riff and stuff going on. It would fit right in on that album.
It's interesting.
I like what Andy's got going on here.
All right. I was just going to go ahead and do this for just a second. So obviously Gene's pushing harder, but it's in the vein. Even the song itself, ding, 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 ding. You know,
oh, yeah. Yeah, there was never a doubt about that. It was a spot-on comparison.
And, you know, Gene doesn't look terribly unlike Chubby Checker. Let's be honest.
Same hair. I'm just same saying, face.
I mean, same complexion.
Jeez, wait a minute. Might be the same guy.
I'm just saying. Similar complexion.
Not too different, huh?
Not too different. Has anyone ever
That's interesting,
seen
Nick.
Them in the same room?
That's very interesting.
Interesting thought.
Chubby Checker is Gene Simmons, I guess, is what we're saying. No other Kiss podcast is going to give you these revelations. Mm-mm.
Finally, it's been figured out. 2026.
Let's see. Meryl Osmond is better than Glenn Hughes.
Mm-hmm. Which is true.
Which is true. And Dick Adrizzi is Paul Di'Anno.
That's right.
Now, Chubby Checker is Gene Simmons.
Got it all figured out over here.
Unbelievable.
All documented, all true.
All true.
Yep. Who wants, Nikki, I think you have to vote first. This came to us from Jeff DS. Thank you, Jeff. Interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice surprise.
I really loved it. Yeah, very sweet surrender. Ooh. It was cool.
It's sweet surrender. Hell yes.
You know, and on the Wikipedia page, the album that came out in the early 70s, it says is foray into psychedelic music.
He was just doing whatever.
Really? When was that?
71, it says. It's called Checkered with a Q.
Mm.
So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I remember I looked it up. Running is the song, the first song. That one I do remember hearing. But, man, I really enjoyed this one. I thought he sounded great. I loved hearing him put on a different style of voice. And he pulls it off. It's not like, oh, it's the guy who does the twist.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there are some of those, what would you say, like when Pat Boone did metal songs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or like William Shatner. He's it's like, okay, it right now. Like yeah. It's not it's not someone who's legitimately got the major chops for that style of music doing it. It's mm-hmm. kind of just like the novelty of, oh, there's this guy who's known for this, but he's doing this. But I don't think that applies here. I think, like, on its own, I think this stands on its own for this style of music. It's not like, oh, it's the twist guy, and he's trying to do this. And he's pulling it off.
He is. Chris, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, Sweet Surrender, of course.
It's Sweet Surrender!
Yeah, Spotify is the same. They've pretty much just got nothing from Chubby Checker. After 1964, there's a couple things on here, but
I wonder why that is.
Just, you know, I think...
I assume it's record companies or something. Like, there's a change where, whatever, make it up, Atlantic Records posted maybe. All his stuff in the library, and then whatever company he was with just didn't post it ever.
Sometimes there are some songs where it'll be a newer version of an old song, re-recording years later.
Yeah.
But
like I loved it. The sax solo, of course, I loved that. Great lyrics. Miss her lyrics, even better. Into the performance, it's rocking, Devo vibes. I mean, come on. It's nothing not to like about it.
I want to watch the Fridays performance.
Yeah, I'm interested for sure. My turn to vote. I'm giving it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
Did not expect this at all. And they read the description. I thought, ooh, if that's true, this could be fun. And it was. So thank you, Jeff. Just like what Nick said, it's almost like if Chubby Checker didn't record this. Okay, how about this? If Chubby Checker never did anything before this and this came out, it could have been a thing. I'm not saying it would have been a number one song, but I think it would have gotten more credit than it got because him being Chubby Checker might have brought it down.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if that's the case.
I think that happens sometimes. Other times it goes the other way. But for some reason, I don't know, there's no rhyme or reason why, but you get a pretty good song from someone who had an established career up to a certain point, and it's like, eh, we're done with
like
you.
Like a typecasting problem there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If it's not Twist related, it doesn't register as a Chubby Checker thing, so.
Yep. Maybe he could have had a different name, a different pen name. Could have been Pecker Checker. All right.
how long were you waiting to say that?
That just popped.
For you.
Oh, 20 seconds before I said it, as I was talking. Oh, Paul Stanley wants to know. Burning Up the Night is a rock and roll boner classic.
He wants to know if he should have been doing this.
Yeah.
Well, he did okay in 82, so.
Yeah.
Paul did he did good in 82, musically speaking.
We won't talk about 81, but
big difference those 2 years. All right.
Well, my vote's in.
Your vote's in?
Yeah.
Yep.
Chris's is in. Thinking about mine.
For anybody watching right now, if you want to see the picture of Chubby in this era, here you go.
It's Gene Simmons.
Basically. But that's how he was rocking it. Big collar, love it.
Looks good.
Let's see, while Andy's thinking, I'm gonna type in Chubby Checker tour dates. See if he's got anything. If he's still out there. Well, yeah, apparently not very many dates listed, but yeah, apparently.
He's still doing something, huh?
Still doing something, yeah.
What is he? 80?
85.
Good for him.
Yeah. Where is he playing?
Oh, where was it? Let's see here. It says he was in Des Plaines last year.
The Onesti's other property out that way.
Yeah,
Des Plaines Theater.
The theater, yeah. Yeah, he was just there last year. Oh. Let's see. Arizona, Iowa, just a couple shows listed so far, but still out there.
Nice light schedule.
Yeah,
that's all you need.
He ain't Paul Anka. Nobody else is, but you know. Yeah, good to know he's still out there doing it.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, same order: Nick, Chris, Andy.
Sure.
All right.
Well, I really loved it, so I'm giving it a rock.
Roll.
Yes.
And he got it. Hey, it's a rock and roll ball. Are you kidding me? Who do you think you are? I am. Get it right.
I love it.
Yeah.
I thought about it. Not that this is the only qualification needed to be a rock and roll boner classic, but I was thinking, could I hum it to you right now? And I thought I could sing most of it back to you right now, and I've heard it one time, so it's getting stamped. I'm sorry.
Plus, I mean, look at the songwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The more we revealed about this song, the better it got. And that's not even including actually listening to it. It's just going down the details of who was involved and stuff like that. And it makes sense that the quality level was right up there. But yeah, this is a beautiful revelation on par with the Crazy Horses one.
That's true.
It's on that level.
Yeah, where you, yeah,
that's a good comparison for sure.
Yeah, you never thought they had it in them, and here we go—a a legitimate, potent rocker from these guys.
I mean, I wish I could see if this album what it charted at. I'm guessing it charted somewhere. If he was playing on Fridays promoting it, but
that's true. Yeah,
but I can't find anything on it.
Hmm. All right. Well. How about a... Well, we got to rubber stamp it. My bad. Can't do that. If you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Before we jump to a commercial, Fielding Fowler, he's saying he was ready to save $20 a month if it failed to be a boner. Well, I'm glad that we delivered.
Oh, wow.
He said, mind blower.
This is great, yeah.
That's excellent, yeah. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, Nick, I noticed there was no joke music this week. Sure. I don't know what's going on. What's happening here?
Well, next month, April, mm-hmm. I believe the 11th, mm-hmm. in Indianapolis, Indiana, our state capital, mm-hmm. the return of the Indianapolis KISS Fan Expo after I don't know how many years of not taking place. Did we go to the last one? Was it 2018?
Sounds about right.
I'm going to just guess and say that may have been the last one, unless they did one after it that we didn't go to.
We may have missed one. I'm not sure, but...
We're not planning on going, but that doesn't mean that we can't take a look at the hotel reviews for the venue.
Oh!
So, you're saying that... I think I know what you're saying, so let's just get into it.
I will say there it takes place at a hotel,
mm-hmm.
and according to the website, there are three other hotels within walking distance.
Okay.
So, man, is there a lot to harvest here?
I guess so.
we have Hilton, Hampton, home. Hilton and Hampton look like... Well, they're all Hilton properties, it looks like, so.
Jeez.
Over in Plainfield, technically. But, let's just say that there are some unfortunate reviews of this hotel.
Okay.
They could be, overall look like pretty good, but we like to warn people.
Yeah, we want people to know what they're getting themselves into.
We like to know that something possibly could be unsatisfactory.
But so. It couldn't possibly be as bad as the Caribbean Cove, is it? Or is that what we're going to find out?
Let's find out.
Well, we'll see.
All right, let's do it.
Here we go.
All right. I'm going to send one to Chris so he'll have it ready.
Where are you sending it?
Just in Messenger.
Just in Messenger, okay.
Yeah. Send Chris one, and let's see here. A word.
Laughing at this rage music.
You know, a word that gets used, I've noticed, in so many reviews,
mm-hmm.
negative reviews, is the word horrible.
Yeah, that's one of the first words people think of.
This one is simply headlined, horrible. One star.
And what hotel is this again?
This is over at the Hilton. Let's see, this is the Spark by Hilton Plainfield, Indianapolis Airport.
Is this not where the expo is actually happening? But
this one's not where it's happening, but that one's sold out. So right. They're recommending, hey, there are these other ones within walking distance.
All right.
Horrible. And I find it interesting, by the way. The name of the reviewer is Rich Skelton. Red Skelton's name was Richard, I'm just saying.
Okay.
This was 2024, so it's not Red Skelton, but struck me as interesting. We checked into the room. When we walked in, there was chew marks from an animal on all the furniture.
On all the furniture, too.
All the furniture.
All the furniture.
Okay.
There was pee stains on the chairs.
On the chairs.
Sofa bed and the king size bed.
Oh my god.
The bathtub had dirt in it that my wife rinsed away with water.
Okay.
Dirt. It's usually what you use to rinse things away, but go ahead.
Well, his wife was prepared. That shows how lazy the housekeeper was. When we called the front desk to complain, they said there was nothing they could do for us.
That's a common thing in Indianapolis.
Yeah, they just don't do anything.
There's no customer service down there in
the hospitality industry of Indianapolis.
If you want to get in that business, that's where you start.
Yeah.
Easy to get in there.
So I'm going to send another one to Chris.
There's literally nothing they can do. Nope. It's always, there's absolutely nothing we can do for
It's either...
It's like, can I get a replacement pillow up here?
Absolutely
there's nothing
not.
We can
there's
do.
There's nothing.
There's absolutely nothing we can do to,
we
to,
can't
to
help
take
you.
Care of that request.
There's no reason for us to be here. We can't do anything.
So I sent two to Chris.
Okay.
I've got another one ready.
Okay.
All right, my turn?
Yeah.
All right. Interesting username on this one. Teeth Freak 2022. Perhaps this is the animal who chewed up all the furniture in the other person's room. This is from June 2022. Two stars. Headline, Smelly Room. We, parentheses, two young women, were put into a first floor room with a window facing the back of the building. Do these people ever listen to murder podcasts? We would have been a serial killer's first target.
Jeez. I don't know that that's something that you can really write a negative review about.
Yeah, it's not
or justifiably.
Somebody's got to occupy those rooms.
And it's you.
I mean, it sounds like Teeth Freak listens to murder podcasts. Wouldn't you think that she would request not to be put in the back of the building if she's got a problem with it?
Yeah, but you know,
the issue is on her.
Teeth Freak might have to, it just occurred to me, it might have something to do with, you know, being able to identify by dental records.
That could be it.
Well, there you go.
The young women again with the murder podcast. I don't know what's with you young women.
I don't know. Very strange.
Oh, let's see. From April 2019, Melanie writes, two-star review, why is the coffee maker in the bathroom?
That's a good question.
My husband and I like to stay at La Quinta properties, but it seems that they still have not gotten the message about the unsanitary conditions in the, all caps, bathroom. Why do many of these hotels continue to put the coffee maker in the bathroom? It's unbelievable.
I've never seen that in my life.
Coffee maker in the bathroom.
But they're continually doing it.
Sebastian Maniscalco has a whole bit about that.
Really?
I actually saw that clip within the past week.
So that is common. Coffee maker in the bathroom.
I've seen it.
Wow.
It doesn't
make any sense.
No.
I mean, you really want that mist all over your fucking coffee maker?
So I told him, I read this review to my wife earlier, and she said she saw a video where they were commenting on another video that someone had posted. And in this original video, this woman was saying, hey, if you need to clean your underwear real quick and you're in a hotel, you can use your coffee maker, and here's how. And it was just like, what?
What's wrong with people?
But, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be in the bathroom for somebody to do something outlandish like that.
Right.
But still.
Do you need to? You can't just use a sink if you need to clean your underwear.
Go to Walmart.
Get some new underwear.
Get new underwear.
Yeah.
Andy bought a shirt on the way to a gig one time.
Yeah.
He needed a shirt.
You just stop. You pop
you just
in.
Pop
These
in
places
and grab
are
a
open.
Shirt.
They're open for your convenience. You can get underwear, socks, shirt, whatever you need.
Yeah, and if you soil your underwear when you're when you're traveling to the point where you feel the need, you have to clean it in a coffee maker.
throw it away.
Put it in the trash and buy some new underwear at Walmart or wherever is it, whatever's available.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's
just dumb.
It's weird, I guess, to have the coffee maker in the bathroom, but it's not like taking it out of the bathroom is going to prevent somebody from doing something strange.
I mean, there are pee stains on the chairs, on the king size bed.
Chew marks on everything.
If someone wants to pee on the coffee maker, it doesn't matter where it is. Or if they want to clean their soiled underwear in it, it doesn't matter where it's located. The main problem, of course, that people have with it being in the proximity of the toilet is the misting that comes up when you flush the toilet. Especially in a hotel, it's got that power flush.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to believe the mist cloud is much more substantial than it would be in your own home. So, I'm just speculating at this point. But yes, Maniscalco has a whole bit about that. Saw it within the past week, came up in my reels. Funny, of course. You like that guy, Andy?
I don't know enough of his stuff. Seems like he's probably good, right? I don't know.
It's all in the delivery. His whole shtick, his whole delivery is what does it for me. I mean, his material is good, but just his whole... his persona and his delivery, I'm a fan of it.
I gotta check him out.
Our mom is a huge fan.
Yeah, she likes him.
Well, she's a woman of taste, so there you go. That's a... is solid an endorsement as you're going to get for anybody.
Yeah.
So. My turn?
Yep.
Okay, we have Sandy Nelson, and the O in Nelson is a zero. I have no idea why, but another two-star review, headline, disappointed. Disappointed that there was no recliner in the room. Hair dryer about blew up in my hand, crackling, sizzling, filled the room with a burnt smell. The lady at the front desk gave us another one to use and said she would report it to maintenance. The ice bucket was dirty. The tub and toilet were stained. The bed was comfortable, but the pillows were not. The breakfast was just okay. Eggs were scary looking and not good. Check in and check out were good. The carpet in the hallways was filthy.
It's nice that they gave some positives in there.
Yeah, tried to, you know, find the upside in there, but, you know, sounds like check in and check out were fine. Everything in between was horrible. So,
something I don't think we've ever done during this segment in the past is a point-counterpoint, because apparently, I'm guessing, management replied to some of these.
Oh, I love those.
So I'm going to send Chris the reply.
Okay.
I'll be the upset customer, and then Chris can go into the reply. And let's see here. I guess, I don't know. See, one thing about this one is they name drop the manager. I don't think I'm going to read the manager's name. I don't want to contribute to throwing people's names out there. Not a fan of that. But
There's no need for it, but no. We have a legitimate back and forth between customer and manager. I love this shit.
I will say, so this was 6 months ago. There's a photograph of the manager. This person took a photo of the manager while they were displeased.
That's not necessary. And
yeah, it's not. It's not, but that's what we're dealing with here.
All right.
So...
so you have the review, I have the rebuttal.
Yes.
Okay.
I just had the worst experience I've ever had at a hotel in my life. At the end of 12 hours in the car, I tried to check into my pre-booked non-refundable third-party reservation, and they said the internet is down, so I couldn't check in. I asked them to check me in manually or book me a room at a different hotel, and they called the cops on me. This is the manager, name, blocking her name tag while calling the cops. That was the angry review.
That was it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and then this is the rebuttal.
This is the rebuttal.
All right. Our team went out of their way to try and assist you during a Hilton system-wide outage, doing everything possible to check you in, despite the unavoidable delay. Rather than showing basic patience and respect, you chose to verbally abuse our staff, make personal and hurtful remarks about a team member's family, and create a horrible or hostile scene in our lobby. Your behavior was completely unacceptable, crossed every line of decency,
wow,
and will never be tolerated at our property. The aggression you displayed was so severe that law enforcement had to be called. You are permanently banned from this hotel, and we will always stand firm in protecting our team members from guests who choose to behave in such a disgraceful manner.
Wow. Yeah.
Articulately stated. I side with the property manager.
Me too. I don't know what happened, but I'm on the property manager's side, but you usually don't hear
a
business owner, manager, whoever give that. They usually kind of give in a little bit.
Especially a corporate employee.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But this was this must have been a real scene.
Yeah, I side with the property manager. These motherfuckers across the internet, wherever it is, Amazon, Yelp, whatever, these people who leave reviews, no accountability.
Yeah.
Fucking are a menace to society and to business owners. Fuck them.
Yeah.
100% side with any business owner in this scenario.
Have you ever left a negative review for anything?
Why? I don't leave reviews, period. Yeah. I've got better things to do with my time. I mean, I will say this. I do read reviews when I'm on the fence about subjects or purchases. So I do appreciate people who take the time to do it. I simply don't do it.
But there are
that's, by the way, another Sebastian Maniscalco bit about people who leave reviews.
Okay, wow.
So we're basically laying out Sebastian Maniscalco's entire stand-up routine here.
Wow. There's I read reviews when I'm, like on the fence about something, or I want to, like there are comparable things on Amazon or whatever, or some other website, and I want to know which one to go with.
Right.
Or hotels. And there's always going to be a negative review. There are certain, I don't know if it's buzz phrases, but there's like a certain way that people word things where I'm thinking, okay, benefit of the doubt, but maybe it's this person is the one who's going a bit overboard and it wasn't that bad.
More often than not, that's the case. I'm convinced of it.
Because usually when they're speaking in absolutes,
yeah,
and it's the customer service or the management is horrible. You know, like when it's not just like stating it in the way that it actually happened, it's just saying they are horrible. Like the worst possible performance.
This was the worst experience I've had in a hotel in my life.
Yeah, I'm thinking that does happen, but it can't happen as many times as you see reviews of it.
Yeah. This is somebody lashing out because of other bullshit that's going on in their lives, and it's ridiculous. And there's no accountability. People can say whatever the fuck they want to say, and it has legitimate consequences on businesses.
I knew a guy who left a negative review of a business, and the business called him and asked him, is there anything we can do to have you change your review?
Really?
Yeah, because people go on there and they see it. And
they do.
If they don't see mostly positive reviews, then they might just dismiss it.
Legitimate impact, yeah. Absolutely. And I think people have picked up on that, and they take out their aggression about some other shortcomings in their own lives on business owners that don't fucking roll over and do whatever the fuck they want them to do. Huh. It's ridiculous.
Having worked in retail, I can say that
it's,
you encounter that.
Well, working at the Hard Rock, people, they would eat their entire meal, and then they'd say, can I see your manager? A manager would go over, and it's like, yeah, I didn't like this. I need you to comp my meal. It's like, you ate the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. And if you don't comp it, I'm going to complain to corporate. These managers at the Hard Rock were making six-figure salaries. You think they want to jeopardize that over some asshole who's trying to grift a free meal? They just comp it, reflexively. And these scumbags pick up on that and understand that, and they turn it into a whole fucking grift. This is what they put their energy into. Grifting and leaving reviews and stuff. Miserable people. Fuck them. Love that response. Articulately stated and telling it like it is.
And
you think hotel personnel is in the business of just like instantly calling the cops on somebody just because they're complaining about something? No, it's not how it works.
Yeah.
You can tell they were, like this response said, belligerent, threatening, and if you're going to be like that, you're fucking right, I'm calling the cops. There will be some accountability here. You will go to jail if it's warranted.
I mean, I've worked at some places where I've seen people behave in ways where the cops should have been called and weren't. So for the cops to be called on somebody, it says a lot.
Yeah. Well, I will say that in general, those reviews were kind of tame compared to the Caribbean Cove, but nonetheless, they were entertaining.
Well,
so
we do have some more, and perhaps.
When is the Indie Expo?
We do have one more. Do we have one more episode we're recording before it? It's the 11th of April, 11th and 12th. Yeah, so I believe we'll have we could be persuaded to do one more round of these in our next episode.
Yeah, keep them on ice, stretch it out a little bit.
All righty, well, thank you for joining us. I guess I can roll that down. I'm not angry. Thank you for joining us. Happy to have you. If you want to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/potofthunder. Check out curiosities.com. Code POTHEAD for 20% off. Gonna love it. Find us on social media if you're not on there. Get in the Pod Thunderstand fan group if you're not in there. What are you doing with yourself?
Yeah.
It's the only reason to be on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly on Facebook.
Yeah.
And again, happy birthday yesterday as of this episode's release to Andy. Happy Richard Petty birthday to Andy.
Thank you.
King birthday.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. We'll see ya.
Andy wants night cookies. Stays up late to eat them. Oh, oh. He wants night cookies. Neighbor with Benton's. There he is, praying for this moment to last. Dipping Dunkin', feeling so fine. Even no crumbs, gone in one bite.
Piece of art right there, Nick.
Yeah, it's a good one.